We'd like to bid you one and all a warm and a friendly word of welcome to our gospel service here in Hebron this evening. Our pastor, the Reverend Park, is on holiday until Thursday of this week. However, he and his wife are worshipping in our congregation in Bangor this evening. We would like again to extend our congratulations as a fellowship to Christopher and Sarah McLean, who both graduated on Thursday of last week from Dundee University and have become medical doctors. We trust that the Lord will continue to bless this young couple in later life. We want to extend a very special word of welcome once again to our student assistant, Mr. Simon Anderson. We enjoyed Simon's ministry last Lord's Day and again this morning, and we look forward to what the Lord has placed upon his heart for our edification this evening. Please remember as a congregation, Simon, Lindsay, and the children, as they wait upon the Lord for the leading of the Lord in their life in relation to future ministry. We have come to know and to love this family, and we want to be a part of what God has planned for them in future days. As a congregation, brother, we will continue to uphold you at the throne of grace in prayer as you embark shortly upon a new chapter in your service for the Master. We bid you welcome once more in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. And without further ado, we're going to hand the rest of the service over to Simon. May God richly bless you, brother.
Well, good evening, folks. It's good to see each and every one out in the house of God this evening. It's my joy and privilege again to be here with you once more, even to take part in the gospel service this night. We're turning for opening hymn of praise to hymn number 203. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, Christ my Saviour lifted me, now safe am I. And we'll sing it out to the glory of God tonight, and we'll remain seated as we do so.
Thank you. words. They are a favourite hymn of ours, I think. It was one of our wedding hymns many, many years ago now. It's a wonderful hymn of praise, wonderful truth in those words. There's no one else can help you tonight but Christ. No one else can lift you from your sin-sick soul in which you find yourself in tonight but Christ alone. And that's our desire tonight, that even as you meet with us here for the gospel service in Hebron in Ballymoney tonight, that you'll look to Christ. You'll be found of him tonight. Be received of him, found ready for heaven and for home. We'll commit our time together tonight at the outset to the Lord in prayer. We'll seek his face, ask his blessing upon our coming together even tonight. If you're a Christian tonight, pray that the Lord would speak to hearts, even those that are gathered with us or listening in online that are not saved. Even you're not saved here tonight, pray the Lord would speak to you. He would challenge you of your need. He would even save you tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee, even for what thou hast wrought, even what thou hast done. We rejoice thou art the one that lived that perfect life, that died that perfect death, that died to save a people from their sins. We rejoice tonight in the precious shed blood of our Saviour. We thank thee for him who is seated at the Father's right hand, even this night. We come to thee today and on this Sabbath day evening, and we give thee thanks for help already given in this house, in the sanctuary today. We praise thee, Lord, even for thy presence with us already. But Lord, as we enter in, embark upon a new service, another gospel opportunity, we realize, Lord, our great need of thee. And Father, we cry unto thee, Lord, to come and to brood over this gathering even tonight. Father, you'd even be working in hearts and lives even as we meet together in this place. And for those that are listening in, further afield, perhaps online, we just pray, Lord, that thou'll even speak to hearts this night. Oh, Father, we long to see thee move again in these days in which we live. Father, we look back to days of great blessing, times of refreshing, days of revival. Even, Lord, on a Sabbath day evening, the question was asked, how many will be saved? Not if any will be saved. And Lord, tonight we cry unto thee to save a soul tonight, even in this gathering. That, Lord, that thou would be pleased to come and to awaken one from their sleep of death. Perhaps even one that's listening in online tonight. We cry like those of old, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And Father, we just pray that thou would come and do a work in the heart and life of some dear lost soul even this night. Perhaps even a young person gathered with us. Even someone older, Lord. Oh, thou knowest the need. Perhaps that work has already commenced. Perhaps the challenge is already there. Perhaps there's someone seated before us even already tonight and thou art working in their heart. They know that they're not right with thee. They know that they need to be saved. They know the gospel. They've been nurtured in the things of God. They've had a faithful Sunday school teacher. They have a godly heritage. Faithful parents. They taught them the things of God from an early age, but yet tonight they realize that they're not right with thee. They're not saved. Have mercy upon such this night, we pray. O Lord, we cannot leave them lost and lone. We want them over there. Lord, we cry, Lord, that thou would have mercy upon them. Draw them unto thyself this night. We know that the man cannot cause an anxious thought. So, Lord, we cry unto thee to do thy work. Do that work that only thy Spirit canst do. Draw a needy sinner unto thyself this night. Oh, Father, we thank thee for each and every one that's here. Oh, Lord, we just pray there'll be a word in season for each and every heart. Oh, challenge both saint and sinner alike, we pray. We thank thee, Lord, for this open door here in Hebron. We thank thee for this wonderful, this beautiful building, this comfort that we enjoy here, even to come and to listen to thy word read and meditated upon, to come and to sing the hymns of Zion, to praise and to worship thee. And Lord, as we think of these wonderful privileges that we enjoy, our minds are drawn to those of the persecuted church across this world of ours tonight that are found meeting in secret for fear of their lives, for fear of the lives of their family, their little ones. O Lord, help us not to be neglectful, even in the place of God, in the house of prayer. Help us, Father, to be always found when the building is open, when the church doors are open, that we are found even in our place to praise and to worship Thee with thankful hearts. We think of our missionaries tonight. We thank Thee for them, those that have left homes, loved ones, families, to go and serve Thee in the foreign fields. We lift them up before Thee tonight. We think of those connected with the congregation here. We think of our sister Noreen. We pray You'll bless her tonight as she has settled in again there in Uganda. We pray You'll keep Your hand of protection and safety upon her. We think of the Fosters out there as well. We thank Thee for answered prayer in raising them up again to health and strength. Continue to hedge them about, we pray, with the blessed Holy Spirit as they seek to labor for Thee. Guide them even in these days. We think even of our brother Alex and Vanessa and the family circle there, Abigail, Elizabeth, and Ezekiel. We thank Thee for them. We pray, Lord, Thee be pleased even to grant them the desires of their heart as they seek to serve Thee there in their homeland. We just pray that You will even use them for Thine honor and glory. We pray, Lord, They'll even be pleased to grant them fruit for their labors there in that corner of Thy vineyard. We think of John and Ankle out there also. O Lord, Thou knowest the great needs there is in that land. And Father, we just leave them before Thee. The work in Nepal, Liberia. O Lord, Thou knowest those upon our hearts, each one. We lift them up lovingly before Thee tonight. And Lord, we just pray that Thou will be pleased to answer prayer. Use them, we pray of Thee. May they each one be tools in the hand of God and drawing lost and needy sinners unto Thyself. O Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy workings even in past days across the mission fields. And we realize the mission field there is now even in our own land here of Ulster. And Father, we cry unto Thee this night even for this land of ours. We think of those, Lord, that there used to be that desire at least to attend the place of worship or to go to gospel missions. And, oh Lord, that care and concern for one soul seems to have since departed. And Father, we just pray You'll have mercy upon our land tonight, that Thou would, Lord, even be pleased to visit us again with revival. And Lord, we just pray You'd be pleased even to work in this land again once more. May there be a great turning unto God, even in these days. Oh, Father, we lament even after the last 18 months in which we have endured, that there is so many with a desire to be back out enjoying the things of the world, and yet still no thought of Thee, still no thought of their latter end. Oh, Father, we pray for such that listen in tonight, that's part of this gathering tonight, that's listening via the electronic means tonight. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon them. Save their souls, we pray. And Lord, would we pray for ourselves here in Hebron? We pray for up and down this land of ours, our sister congregations. We pray as Thy word is faithfully preached, that, Lord, there'll even be signs following, that Thou would even work in hearts and lives. We think even of Mr. Park tonight as he worships and his family there in Bangor. We think of our brother Joshua, sister Leah there. We just pray that Thou be pleased to bless there in the ministry of Thy word, even grant salvation there in that house this night. O Lord, come and do our hearts good. We are so thankful, Lord, for even this beautiful weather that Thou hast shone upon us even in recent days. But Lord, we long to see the heavens open, the showers of blessing even to come upon us even tonight. And Lord, even do a work of grace in this house and save souls, we pray. For it's in Christ's name we'd humbly ask it, and for our Savior's sake. Amen. Amen. We bid you warmly welcome, each and every one, to the house of God tonight. And for those of the congregation who are listening in with us online, we bid you welcome also on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and on YouTube. Thursday night, the midweek service is at 8 p.m., and the preacher expected will be Mr. David McCauley, a second-year student at Whitfield College of the Bible, no stranger to you all here in Hebron. next Lord's Day, the worship service will be at noon, and the gospel service again then at 7 p.m. when the preacher expected will be your own minister here, the Reverend David Park. We thank you for your tithes and offerings to God's work here in Hebron. We know that you're very kind in supporting the missionary cause and the work of God. The ministry at Hebron we bring before you to remember in prayer, gospel opportunities, conversions, even in these days. You know, perhaps we could each one take someone upon our hearts to pray for them, just that one name to pray. Pray for them diligently that the Lord would move in their heart and save them. You know, I've often heard of testimony of one who got saved, who came through for Christ, and how they testified that it was as a result of someone had just set aside that time every day and they had prayed for that one person. And I urge you to do the same here. Perhaps there's someone the Lord has laid on your heart, a friend, a family member. Pray for them that the Lord would save them. And you will be surprised as you see the Lord working. You know, so often we pray, but really do we expect the answers? And the Lord is still moving. He's still working even in these days. Pray for our children, the youth, the seniors of the church, the office bearers here, the workers, the students, and our missionaries, the National Health Service even in these days. The sick and needy, we bring before you again once more. I know these folk are thankful for the prayers of God's people, and we urge you to continue to pray for them even in these times of need. I want to remind you also of the Bush Mills Free Presbyterian Church, their drive-in mission, which is planned tomorrow evening. It commences at 8 p.m. when the evangelist expected will be the Reverend William McRae. I know your support there will be much appreciated. The meetings are there in the car park of the church, commencing at 8 p.m. and will be concluded within the hour. If you know folks that are up on holiday, you can let them know that these meetings are taking place and that they will be made most welcome. We remind you also of the drive-in missionary rally, which is planned there on the 6th of August over in Haffey's Farm in Donatloney. They're supporting the work of God in Kenya and Uganda. There'll be special singing reports from those mission stations, and the Reverend Colin Mercer is this preacher, which is expected. We make these announcements subject to the will of God. At this stage, we're going to sing another hymn, hymn number 247. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world are sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. And we'll remain seated as we sing this hymn of praise together unto the glory of God. That is good singing. Luke 12, for our scripture reading tonight, Luke 12. Wonderful words they are in that hymn. He is able to deliver thee, though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. And that's a wonderful, wonderful fact to know, to bear in mind tonight. Perhaps you know you need to be saved. You know you need deliverance from your sin. You've sought many ways, many people. But it's only through Christ, through faith in Christ alone, that one can be delivered, redeemed from their sin even this night. Our scripture reading, Luke 12, we're commencing to read at the verse 13. We see here in this opening verse, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another. There was a great crowd there attending the Savior's ministry. As we would say here in Ulster, they were standing on top of each other. And then in verse 13, when we break into the reading here, we see one coming quite ignorantly and interrupting the Savior. And one of the company, he said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So was he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you which taketh thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek not ye that ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And we'll end our reading there tonight. We'll ask you to stand and to change your position as we just bow momentarily in prayer. Seek the Lord's blessing even upon the preaching of his precious word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that one that can deliver the sin-sick soul, that can prepare one for the life hereafter, that can give that peace of heart and mind, that can cleanse the guilty, hell-deserving sinner with the precious blood. Find them ready for heaven and for home. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word. We pray, Lord, now that thou wilt speak through thy word, even as we meditate upon it now for a time. Lord, we realize of our great need of thee. And we cry on to thee, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me and on each and every one that's gathered in this congregation tonight or who listens in online, we pray. Have thine own way. Save souls, we pray. Draw back the backslider to his first love. Edify the saints of God. Hide me far behind the cross, I pray of thee. Let none be seen this night, save Christ and him crucified. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Regrettably, it has become an all too common occurrence at a funeral service to see a family who has become disjointed gather around a graveside, oftentimes having had a fallout over some minor issue. You have certain members of the grieving family standing on one side, and then over in some other area stand the others. So great is the division that has risen between them. In society today, there are all too many disagreements within the family, too many disputes. And this ought not to be so within the Christian family. There can be differences over many things. But more often than not, schisms and divisions are caused and arise as a result of the family inheritance. In verse 13 of this passage of Scripture we have just read together, we find one such person at odds with his brother in a quarrel, in an argument over the inheritance. We see this individual asking Christ to judge on the matter, bringing a settlement then to the dispute, as rabbis were expected to help in those days of settling legal matters. Some suggest that this man, whom we read of here, had been wronged by his brother, and that which was rightfully his was being withheld from him. He was the innocent party, and he had come just seeking that which was rightfully his. Knowing that they who have been wronged have a God which they can go to, and will achieve judgment and justice for those who are burdened. Others believe that this man of whom we read of here in verse 13 had a desire to wrong his brother. He had the audacity then within himself to enlist Christ, enlist the Savior to assist him. Perhaps his brother was older and was entitled to the double portion under the law of the firstborn, recorded for us back in Deuteronomy 21:16-17. Maybe his older brother was attending to the teaching of Christ, and so he sought the Savior to overrule and to get his brothers to share the inheritance out equally amongst them. When we consider this parable in context, it appears he was a man with a desire nonetheless to get his hands on more than that which he was entitled to. The Savior quickly reminded him there in the verse 14, "Who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Christ did not have the authority to judge on matters of inheritance, and his decisions would not have been legally binding in that day. If he were to interfere in the legal matters, he would have given occasion for himself to end up in the courts. And furthermore, the Savior had not come into the world to handle such trivial matters. Rather, the purpose of his coming was to save sinful man. And folks, tonight, that is still the Savior's purpose. He would not be deflected from his great and glorious mission to divide some pitiful inheritance, regardless how great it may have been in this man's eyes. And seeing the anxiety and the apprehension the man had for his earthly possessions, his worldly possessions, the Saviour issued the warning to all present, as I do to you tonight there in verse 15. He said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things, the things which he possesseth. Christ then proceeded to illustrate this important principle, as he had done oftentimes in the past, via a parable. And tonight it is our desire to consider the parable of the rich fool. We're given consideration really from verses 13 through to 21 tonight. In considering this parable tonight, I want to first of all point your attention to this man's wealth, his wealth. We see there in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You see, men and women tonight, and young people, this man of whom we read of, we could say he was on the crest of the wave. One could say business was booming. He was very wealthy, he was rich, he was a prosperous man. His business was running in a way that many could only dream of. The sun of prosperity, it was shining upon him. Everything he touched, as it were, it turned to gold. He had gained all that he had need of, and he had much, much more. This can often be the case with the ungodly. They have great abundance of wealth, though sadly very little thought of Christ. Therefore, temporal prosperity should never be taken as an indicator of one who is devoted to Christ. This man was like many in the world today. He was more concerned about increasing his wealth than attending to the Word of God. We read of the parable of the sower in Luke 8:14, and that seed which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, bring no fruit to perfection. See, this man we read of tonight, despite his wealth, he couldn't be satisfied. Oh, he couldn't get enough. He was a covetous man. He just wanted more, more, and more of all that this world had to offer. What is covetousness? Well, it is that desire for having more than that, than what the Lord would have us in His providence to have. Money doesn't necessarily solve problems. And in this instance, in our text tonight, in fact, it created greater problems for this man. Oh yes, it's often said, and it's true, it's not a sin to be wealthy, but it is a sin then to make wealth your God. Tell me tonight, as you're gathered in, is this so of you? Is it all about your things? All about your temporal possessions? Is that what it is for you? Is that what your life revolves around? Even as you're sitting here, perhaps you've had a week's holiday. Perhaps you're thinking about going back to work tomorrow. You're thinking of you're thinking of increasing in wealth. You've no time for God. This man could think of nothing else than his wealth. Covetous man, overcome by the sin of covetousness. The apostle exhorts us to mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, even evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is adultery. Be done with covetousness. You see, wealth can be a window, men and women, tonight. Young people, through which we see God. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Yes, wealth can be a window through which we see God. What do I mean by that? Well, it is this, men and women. In everything that we possess, in all the blessings, the temporal blessings which the Lord bestows upon us, we see God's hand all over it. We see God's hand in it. We see our wealth, we see the things that the Lord has given us here, the many blessings which He has bestowed upon us, that He pours out upon us and our family. And we see it all of God. It's a window through which we see God. However, wealth can also be a mirror in which we just see ourselves. Oh, we get on well. We get a great deal done. We aspire and we have worked hard and we get a good job, we get a promotion, and we just say we're great. Haven't I done well? I deserve that. It's all about me. Nothing. No pointer at all to God, to His blessing, to His workings in your life. No acknowledgement of Him, His goodness towards you. Wealth can be a window through which we see God. It can be a mirror in which we see ourselves. It can make us generous. It can make us selfish, depending on what is within our hearts. This man of which Christ speaks of in this parable holds his wealth, in high esteem. Note also with me, as we consider this man tonight in this parable, his worries. His worries. Oh, you say, what do you mean by that? How could a wealthy man have worries? We see there in verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. You see, some people imagine in their minds that worry is only something that the poor battle with. Those who struggle to make ends meet. However, the very opposite is the case. Worries are generally found in proportion to the amount of one's earthly possessions, of that one owns, and the two are inseparably linked. I remember a telephone engineer many years ago coming to the farm, and he had just came from the home of the late Edward Huhey, Lord Ballyedmond, the owner of Norbrook Laboratories in Newry. He was a multimillionaire. The engineer spoke of how he had been joking with him regarding his wealth. He proceeded to recall how Mr. Huhey had threw down two dairies before him. He said, that is my schedule for the next 2 years. Saying, that is my calendar. He says, my life is no longer my own. He lived a pressure-filled life, all consumed with worry and anxiety. You see, the greater the wealth, men and women, the greater the worries. And this is why the rich man in this parable asked the question in verse 17, a genuine question, what shall I do? What shall I do? This question doesn't surprise us when asked by a widow, an orphan, someone who is unemployed, someone who is struggling in an impoverished state. It doesn't surprise us. But yet, here tonight, we see this language used of someone with insurmountable affluence. He had all that he needed, all that he had in this of this world's goods. He didn't know what to do with it. And he says, what shall I do? He had lost sight of all those around him who were less fortunate than himself. He either cared not or knew not that the fruits of the earth were for the inhabitants of the earth. Oh, this thought had never entered this man's heart or mind to give away some of his bounty to the poor, to the needy, to look out for those who are less fortunate than himself. What does this teach us tonight? Oh, it reminds us that no degree of prosperity can satisfy or soften the sinful, selfish heart of man. Note with me the use of the personal pronouns, the emphasis this rich man gave to himself, I and my. Look down there in the verses and you'll see them used repetitively. He speaks of himself as the proprietor of his possessions rather than just a steward. Is this not too often where we all get it wrong today? We think our success, it's down to our personal achievements rather than God's blessing upon our efforts as stewards of His possessions. Boys and girls, young people here tonight, whatever we may attain in this life, it is down to the blessing of God upon us, and we do well, each one, to never ever forget it. With regard to our riches, our wealth, we need always remember they are only entrusted to us by God for a period of time, and we are given clear instruction by Him what to do here during our time here on earth, and that is to occupy till I come. When we consider this man tonight, we have seen his wealth. We have considered his worries, but note also with me his willpower. There in verse 18, verse 19, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, this fool gave no thought. No thought at all to what the will of God was for him. He had his own willpower, and he proceeded then headlong into doing what he was going to do. He cared not for those around him. He just had a plan and he was going forward with it. There in verse 18 and 19, look at it again and you'll see it for yourself. He says, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits, my goods. I will say to my soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tell me that tonight, men and women, young person, is this a portrait of you tonight? As you listen in online, is this an apt description of you? Or what's all about you? Life's all about your willpower, what you're going to do, what you will achieve, what your plans are. You're just overflowing with your own willpower and care not for God or His perfect will for your life. Oh, this rich fool, he was confident in his own willpower. He didn't even hint at the suggestion. If you look there, you can see it for yourself, that this was a plan. Oh, it wasn't a plan that he... No, he was adamant. He was adamant that this was matter of fact. I will do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. He sincerely believed that he had all that he needed. He placed all the emphasis of the good within the creature and gave no thought to his creator, God. Is this not how many are found today in this land of ours? Everybody has been under house arrest for so long, not able to look out, and we're all glad to get out and enjoy the sunshine. The Lord has been good to us. Many of us are so thankful for what he has done for us. What about those tonight in our land who have no thought of God? Just desire to get back out again to the pubs, the clubs, and the things of the world. No interest in God. All the good within the creature. Involved in charitable deeds and all these things that have their place. Give no thought to their creator God. This man's affections were firmly fixed upon the things of the earth rather than heavenly things, the things of heaven. This man had no thought of dying. He had laid up in store in his own for many years. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Is the devil whispering in your ear tonight as this message is going forth in weakness? Don't worry about what that man has to say. You have all you need. Oh, you don't need to listen to this nonsense. It'll soon be over. You can go out and forget all about it. Is that what the devil's telling you tonight? Well, I want to tell you, friend, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You need Christ. It doesn't matter what all you have. All the possessions, you might be the richest man or woman in Ballymoney, might be well thought of for miles around. But if you haven't Christ, you have nothing. You're condemned already. This man thought he had made it. He thought he was secure. He thought he was untouchable. He thought he was sorted. What a fool. What a fool. He forgot about the God that held his breath, his very next breath, in the palm of his hand. He forgot about him. Forgot about God. Perhaps you say, like one who I have witnessed to in past days, we're not here for a long time, we're here for a good time. And it appears men and women and young people, even in this land of ours, they live as if they are never going to die, when reality is, men and women, the fact is before us that each one of us will walk along the edge day by day of an open grave. Our times are in His hands. We have considered the parable of this rich fool. We have noted his wealth, his worries, his willpower. But see also with me his weakness. His weakness. There in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Despite all this man's wealth and worries that came with it and the great willpower which he possessed, men and women, tonight we see from our text he had a weakness. We see his weakness. We see this weakness that finally concluded in his demise, his downfall. We see the way the conversation concluded. Oh, he was I, me, and my. But God said, thou fool. Thou fool. Oh, he might have been the richest man for miles around, perhaps appearing indestructible, as he had much of this world's goods. Maybe he was looked up to by many. A successful businessman. Yet, folks, the Savior tells us clearly his weakness. He was a fool. He was a fool. That was a night of heavy losses. Oh, so unexpected. He hadn't planned for the great eternity. Oh, great riches, you see, cannot secure any man from the grave. Death can come upon us suddenly, so unexpectedly, in the very midst of the brightest anticipations, all looking great, all great plans ahead, and how quick things can change. In a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, death can come. Regardless of age, men, women, young people. It matters not the wealth that you may have accrued, accumulated. It cannot drive away one fear. It cannot drive away death. It cannot prolong your life here on earth for one moment. Not one moment. The man tonight, or the woman, or the young person who is found trusting in their riches in this manner, you know what you are tonight? You're a fool in the sight of God. Soon, you will also be a fool in your own sight. You go to hell with the consciousness that this life that you have lived here on earth has been one of just imminent folly. What wasted opportunities. Perhaps you've sat here, listened to the gospel for years, listened in online here faithfully to Hebron. We are so glad to see you and have you. Join with us week by week. But will you look back upon these days, these gospel opportunities, listening in to gospel missions? Wasted opportunities. Perhaps you listened in a few weeks ago to the 70th anniversary services out there at Cabra, the drive-in service, as I did on my way back from another meeting. Perhaps you have been listening in here to the work in Hebron for many years. Perhaps you were at those meetings and you're still not saved. You know what God says about you? He says you're nothing more than a fool. You're a fool. Don't waste the opportunities. Will you not heed the warning as it is presented tonight to you in the gospel? Will you not receive Christ tonight by grace alone, through faith alone? You see, nothing else or no one else can save you. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We present Christ tonight. And his finished work on the cross of Calvary. The path of true wisdom is to seek first the kingdom of God and be found ready to die tonight. Therefore, it matters not then what our portion is on earth, let it be great or little. Suddenly and soon we will be called away to meet our judge, and it matters not what we possess if our affections are not fixed here upon our riches. Then we will leave them behind without regret. We'll care not for them. Matthew exhorts us to lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. If our treasures are laid up in heaven, death will be for the believer nothing more than a going home. Tell me tonight, are you ready for home? Are you ready for, oh, I don't mean you're ready for the meeting to be over, you want to be out of here. Are you ready for home? If this is your last gospel meeting, are you ready for home? Have you made your peace with God tonight? Have you sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? Well, we commenced our remarks this evening with regard to the dispute that had arisen between the two brothers with regard to this inheritance. And you know, even if Christ had have solved this issue between the brothers, you know, it would not have solved the problem. You may ask why. Well, it's simply this: the heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. And the Savior knew both these men suffered from severe heart trouble. What does he refer to him as? We think of the psalmist. As he speaks of a man with heart trouble, he refers to him. What does he refer to him as there in Psalm 53 and verse 1? He says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. That's a man with heart trouble. And those words literally read as, no God for me. Is that you tonight? Has the psalmist aptly described you? Oh, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. No God for me. Do you sit in this service this evening, here in this beautiful building, or at home there on your sofa in the kitchen, around the kitchen table, listening to this service as it is broadcast to you online, and despite the imminent danger in which you are found rejecting God? As we have considered and seen from closer examination of this parable, despite this man's wealth, his worries, his willpower, his weakness, it was great. He was a fool. His heart was not right. He was unprepared for eternity. What about you, dear friend, tonight as our meeting concludes? Have you given any thought to your heart's condition? Are you rejoicing that you're found ready for heaven tonight? If you leave this scene of time, if you're ushered into God's eternity, that you'll be seeing your blessed Savior face to face. It'll be a great reunion with loved ones that have gone before. You're looking forward to that day. Have you that wonderful peace within your heart that only the believer can possess tonight? Or are you in fear and trepidation of that day? Are you found tonight in your folly like this man? Oh, maybe great position, great power, many, many possessions. Yet sadly, tonight, you're not right with God. And therefore, you're found here tonight, nothing more than a fool. I trust the Lord will write His word upon your heart tonight. If I can be of any spiritual help or assistance to you, I'm your servant for God's sake. I cannot save you, but I'm more than happy to point you to the one who can. We'll just bring our meeting tonight to a close by singing hymn number 225. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner will you let him in? Oh, ask these questions. Ask these questions, rather, to your own heart, even as you sing them tonight. Can you answer them? Oh, yes, you want the Savior to be King and ruler over your life. Or do you continue to reject Him? I will not have this man rule over me. Have you any room for Jesus? We remain seated as we sing this hymn together. sing that verse 2 again, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. We'll sing this verse in chorus and our meeting will be over. Ask yourself the questions, where are you with God? Have you room for everything else, only God tonight? Is it not time you were saved? Is it not time you had the matter of your soul's salvation settled this night? Room for Father, we thank thee and praise thee for thy word to our hearts tonight. We pray you'll strive on and work on in hearts that are challenged even about their need of thee. Perhaps they're thinking, not tonight, we'll put it off to another time. Oh, we're reminded here even in this chorus bid and mentor, while ye may. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give deciding grace, we pray this night. Draw souls unto thyself, we pray. May they go away from this place, having been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, ready for heaven. Looking forward to that day when they'll see their blessed Savior face to face. Take us now, Lord, to our homes in safety. May we go from this place praying. Give no peace to those who are outside of Christ till they get the matter of their soul's salvation settled. For it's in Christ's name I'd ask it. Amen.